Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
There are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America.
It was the next day that I found out from my parents what had happened, that my sister was killed.
Each one is called a cold case.
Sometimes you have to look really closely to find the evidence.
Damn it, I killed her.
Damn it, I killed her.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
Garcia is walking into the home of a real monster.
I was nervous. I realized what kind of person I was dealing with.
It's a goosebump moment.
Download new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Okay, you're rolling. Okay, let me talk to you.
Check one,
thanks,
two,
Dawson.
Two. Check one, two. Mike,
are you,
check.
Are you
hey,
Jen?
One, two, one, two.
You're good. I got to go. I got to take the dog. Right, to the
you want, I'm good. I'm good.
Dude. You want to get your plug in? I'll play it in post.
Just be good to each other.
All right. There you go.
While riding your
my
rad
plug
power
will
bike.
Go to Gerald's Game on Netflix.
Well, that's my flicking.
Pretty good. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just plug that
you
right
throw out,
of out
a
way.
Prediction of what
pretty
I'll give
good.
It.
I'm going to say it's flickable, but I'm going to say you're only going to give it 6 out of 10 beans.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, because otherwise it would make sense.
Oh, I need my
computer. Kalen is drunk with power.
Oh, Dawson, mute that mic.
Sorry.
It's all good. Thanks.
Chris, did you ever watch Supermarket Sweep as a kid?
Mm? Oh, man.
That's a great show, isn't
it? I hate watched it because all the kids just did it wrong.
Oh, no. People are terrible at it. I forced Joy to watch it last night. I just like put it into YouTube or whatever, and an episode came up from 1996. It looks like it was 40 fucking years ago.
Oh no. I'm thinking of the one that the kids did at the toy store.
Oh, yeah.
They did it wrong.
They did it wrong.
Because like, they would go and they just grab a toy and run back to their cart, and I'm like, you just take one arm out.
There has to be rules against that.
Like bulldoze it.
I remember always thinking I would just go right to the video game aisle and just fucking take all the video games. They never did that.
You went for value.
Yeah, exactly.
You looked at value. All right, here we go. And it's Water Cooler, episode number 93. That's 69 plus 24. That's right.
You should start writing down, like calculating it.
I did. I just didn't read it.
Oh, I see.
Enough,
you're right.
But I did write it.
69 plus Jack Bauer.
Oh. Jeez, we're getting really crazy with our arithmetic now. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name's Chris Loxamana, and once again, this is the show at Cruella Digital. The other show of Resume, where I hang out with my friends.
We've been upgraded to the other show.
Have you?
We're not the sideshow anymore. We're just the other show.
What do you want? What's
would
better?
Maybe imply like a co-headliner.
Yeah.
I like the new reporting system that we have here. It makes it so much
the
easier.
The co-headlining show. just hang out, drink some beers. We just finished the Adam Carolla show today. And now we're just sitting here. We had to wake Kalen up from his nap, and he's.
Oh, you didn't have to. Plenty of people came and interrupted me in mid nap.
Oh,
to
you
do
poor
the thing.
The,
yeah,
the nap you were taking at work.
All I need is like 15 minutes in
that's
between shows.
Think.
It's all I needed, and then like every 6 minutes, someone, hey, taking a nap at work, huh? Hey, can I get a lighter? It's like, oh, come on, man. How many people in this building have a lighter? Why are you asking me?
Well, Kalen, that's what you get for sleeping in our lobby.
Where else? I have nowhere else to sleep.
All right. That's
just sleep
where everybody
in your office
walks, like you normally do.
I tried to with a yoga mat on there, but it is not comfortable.
You guys mentioned off mic that Kalen's been drunk with power. Gary, I don't know if you were here for this, but Kalen today said, I'm getting sushi. I'm just going to sit down and have a lunch. I'm just going to go, and then I'll be back before the show starts.
I was so excited.
How ballsy is that?
That's the thing about sushi. When you go to a sushi bar, that's quick.
Sure.
They'll do it up real quick.
I'm just
quick.
Talking about the idea of you having a leisurely lunch.
Don't even have to cook it.
Enjoying
it sounded
the,
so good in my head.
Enjoying the town.
It sounded so good, and I walked in there, and it was completely full. Not one open seat.
So did you eat?
Yeah, I went to Subway.
Everybody was on your wavelength. They all wanted sushi, too. New and improved Kalen. Things have changed.
He's new.
I think he's changed for the better.
Still changing.
Well, yeah, I mean, changing. There wasn't really any other direction to
nothing,
go.
Yeah, Kalen's looking at a sushi menu during CarCast today. Like, oh, I think I'm gonna get this. Then we get this. Like, he's already
ends up at Subway.
Yeah,
ends
comes back. Comes Subway. Back with some. He wanted to do a sit down sushi lunch. Now, a lot of people listening. Matt and I talked about this. Like most jobs. You actually get like an hour lunch, 30 minutes to an hour lunch, and it's kind of cool. When I worked at TJ Maxx, we got a 30-minute break. It was nice. Where here, it's hard to leave in the middle of the day.
Yeah, you can't. But on the plus side, depending on the day, you can either get in late or leave late.
Yeah,
and you kind of get your hour then. But leaving between CarCast and ACS where there's like an hour in between with Adam showing up, maybe 5-10 minutes before the show starts, you're looking at 45 minutes maybe to get.
No, way sooner than that. That was my whole reasoning behind a sushi place. I'm not going for like an Italian dinner.
That's a bold
move. It's right around the corner, less than a 5-minute drive. Sit down, order, eat it. It's got to be 10 minutes max.
Minutes,
man. At a sushi bar?
I'm just jealous. I'm just jealous.
We all are.
I could not do that.
Chris, it occurs to me you didn't introduce everyone in a dress.
I know.
Okay.
Well, let me finish. So, Caitlin Bean's here.
Bark.
Gary Smith's here.
Check that footer.
And Matt Fondelier's here.
What's up?
Got the OGs here. Fortunately, Dawson had to
taking care of the boo.
Yeah, going. He's helping his dog. He's taking Boo get a little checkup, I think. And so he'll be back next show, hopefully. Man, crazy weekend. I called 911 for the first time in my entire life.
Really?
Whoa. So,
I have not heard this story.
It's gonna save it for air, Matt.
Yeah,
that's good. Prayer.
Let's hear it. What happened?
We did that. Well, it all started with. My friend had a wedding over the weekend. It was cool. He did this thing where this couple, they're like really laid back. To be honest, they didn't even really want a big wedding. Their parents kind of, said, we want it. And they kind of did it for them. So what they did was.
That's what marriage is all about.
Yeah.
Making sure your parents are happy.
Well, I mean, your friends want to help celebrate with you too. I mean, I've had some friends do the private marriage. And while I'm happy for them, it's like, I'd still like to. I still enjoy celebrating with them. So what they did was they rented like a huge mansion like through Airbnb and just did it there, like in the yard. It was really cool. Like I never heard of anybody doing that. And so big old place, Airbnb with a huge, huge backyard.
Because when we were looking at our wedding, we were looking at doing a backyard wedding as well, but it's almost just as expensive because while you don't pay a venue fee, you got to bring in the lighting. You got to bring in kitchen cookware stuff.
Yeah.
You got to have bathroom facilities.
Right.
And you're paying for every fork, every spoon.
Right.
Is that what they did?
Kind of. Well, partly that's where I come in. How many people were at your wedding?
All told, I think it was around 115.
Okay.
Something
yes.
like that.
There's about. Probably a little less
160
than
160 invites, which was terrifying because there's no fucking way we could ever afford that.
Wait, 160 people invites or 160 invitations? Because
people, like okay. our person count was like 160, and then it was like, we really want everyone to be there, but it'll be awesome if 60 people don't show up because I can't afford it.
Right. What is the average like rate that comes that returns with the reservation like RSVP? Like you can't.
Oh. You mean like 15 the. The rule, at least as it's been described to me, is that 15 to 20% will say no.
Really?
That's
a good chunk.
I don't know, man.
My brother's doing like a destination wedding to Mexico. Just I think that.
Oh, that I think. Really, I think I heard someone say that it's the same numbers for a destination wedding, but reversed.
Oh,
like 80 to 85% will say no.
Yeah, all the people that said no will go to the destination wedding.
Yeah, pretty much.
So he has it there now. What he did was.
Where? Sorry, what city?
Oh, Murrieta.
Okay,
it's kind of south inland, and from LA, that is. And so he calls me up, and he just says, "Hey, man, like I'm doing this. It's a smaller production, but if you don't mind, like I'd like to just have you play acoustic songs for cocktail hour and stuff. And just like if you don't want to do it, it's totally fine. But
it's so funny because we considered that too, but we decided we wanted you to party.
Ah. Oh. Thanks. Well, I mean, I find either way. So, and I'm starting to do this more often and gig out. So it's like, this is perfect for me to practice, and I enjoy doing it. And my friends will be there; it'll be fun, whatever. So I said, of course. And he's like, how much can I pay you? And I said, do not even worry about it. Like, I'll bring everything. I'll bring my own PA. I'll bring everything. Like, never think about this again, kind of thing. Just because I know how stressful weddings can be, based off of my friends that have had weddings or about to have weddings.
It sucks.
And so I said, don't even think about this anymore. It's all off your plate. Go do, figure out everything else. And then their wedding coordinator emails me a couple weeks later saying, hey, so here's the plan. We're doing this, and you're also going to be playing the ceremony. The procession, the recession, all that. All that jazz.
I think you meant reception.
No.
Procession. The walk down the aisle.
Right. And
then he said recession.
Oh, yeah.
Is that when they leave the aisle? What?
No. That's
when the money flow in the country is not doing so well.
Oh, yeah. Then the exit session. Anyway, so I'm a little confused, but I'm thinking, you know what? F it. I'll do it. Who cares?
You're responsible for playing Here Comes the Bride?
Yeah.
Dude, fuck that.
So,
like, the cocktail hour is one thing. Everyone's got a cocktail in their hands. Like, the music is just a great little background ambient. If somebody fucks up a note, no big deal. If that chick's walking down the aisle and you slip on a fucking cord or something, I'd be tripping.
Yeah,
personally.
See, here's the thing. So my buddy, and this is a guy I've been friends with for a long time. Like, he went on that bus trip with me. Like, we've been friends for many, many years. And so he hits me up and he just says, hey, so me and my fiance, we're talking and so if you don't want to do it, no big deal. Like, you know, if it's lame or if you don't, you know, if it's too much pressure, like I understand. Just, you know, we thought it'd be nice. And I just said, yeah, no problem. And the only thing he said was, all we want to do is we want you to play that Beatles song Here, There, and Everywhere when the bride walks down the aisle. And instrumentally, like the, you know, the classical guitar thing. And then He's like, I don't care what you play, anything else. You can play whatever you want before and then afterward, just make it a little more upbeat as we're leaving. And I thought, oh, all right. So they had a Loxy wedding. No, what I did was,
you're a better person than me, Chris.
I have a, I have like a couple like things I noodle around with that kind of sound kind of classical, kind of nice. And I just kind of scored the wedding live. Like as I walked, I kind of just did that. But I mean, there was a lot of pressure. I kind of wanted it. I liked it, you know? And I thought that too, Gary, like, oh my God, if I mess up, if I slip, I hit a wrong note, if I biff it, then, you know, this goes down in history for them. Cause this is, you know, they do this once. This is, you know, the best day of their life, things like that. That's it. And it's all people I care about. So I'm thinking about that. And then at your engagement party,
uh-huh.
Kelsey was there, and she works a lot of weddings, a photographer.
Uh-huh.
And she told me, she's like, she just recently got married. She said, I don't even remember hearing my song. And I thought, oh my God, that's right. Nobody gives a crap what I do. If I can just fill the air with music, if I can just somehow just do that, nobody cares what I'm doing. I could play whatever, you know, just kind of play it decently enough, and then they'll get by with a wedding. So that's what happens. It was weird because I had to be on the aisle. I had to be like, at the front of the aisle when it happened. And I used my PA system for that too. And the cocktail hour and the wedding and the ceremony were in different places. So I brought two PAs and I had to set them all up and I did all the sound. So that's how we paid for it. Like I provided all sound and I was happy to do it. I mean, you know, and the wedding went fantastic.
Great, and man.
The fact that, yeah, they didn't care about what I played definitely helped. Oh, and the forks and plates, Koji.
Oh, nice.
Oh, sweet.
Because what happens is they met in Korea. That's
a popular food truck for people who don't know.
So they had a Korean fusion food truck. The reason I am on Twitter is because of that truck.
Same.
it's weird to think about that, but yeah.
Yeah, we looked into that for the engagement party, but we were too late.
Yeah. So it was like kind of Korean themed. So it was a nice wedding. Anyway, so we're driving home. We leave that night because Jen has a flight. Jen is gone for 10 days. She's in Spain.
Chris comes into work on morning two. He's like, I got drunk last night. All right.
Sweet.
Well done, sir.
She still listens to this show. So I'm just kidding.
I didn't say you went out and murdered somebody. Whatever.
I didn't tell you that part. So we end up leaving. We didn't stay the night. We end up leaving that night. So it's about...
Well, it's a weird thing. It's yes, Jen is gone for 10 days, but it's even more compounded by the fact that she took your best friend's girlfriend as well.
Oh yeah.
So
they're eloping?
Girls trip.
No, girls trip, but
two other girls too.
Chris also has cohorts that are similarly unencumbered, you know, having their girlfriends out of town. So it's just kind of the why not?
Mikey, my drummer, his girlfriend and my girlfriend, two other of our friends went out, you know, girls trip to Spain. And
wow, really? They're in Spain?
Yeah.
But what part?
I don't know. Granada, I think. I don't know. They're going all over the place. They're backpacking.
They're not going to be near that Catalonia region, are they?
What is that?
No.
There's a part of like northeastern Spain is annexing from the rest of the country, and there's a lot of...
seceding. Isn't it?
It's a recession.
All right, now. I better shoot her a text.
I mean, look, she's going to be like in... Barcelona, like in the middle of Spain, it's not going to make a difference. But
Yes, I don't know. I actually know. She's going all over the place though, and she's having a great time. We watched
jealous. I'm
jealous too. We watched the Anthony Bourdain Spain thing. Like, you know,
nice. That's now I'm watching. Episode.
Like, they give free food. The tapas are free there. You just buy drinks, and the tapas are free.
Unbelievable.
Free tapas.
Really?
You believe it? Yeah.
What is this sorcery, Joy? We may not be going to Greece after. That.
Exactly. Go there. Oh, it looks delicious. Anyway, so we're driving home that night. She's sleeping in being a terrible navigator. She's sleeping in shotgun. So I'm just driving, and I'm on the freeway, and this car. I'm like on the second lane from the right, and this car is I'm going like 76. 77, it's late, you know, not that many people. But this car whizzes by me. It's easily going triple digits, probably like 110, 115. It's going really
what
fast.
What car was it?
It was like a Tercel. It was, you know, just like a regular sedan, like old Toyota. And anyway, so it just whizzes by me, and I'm like, oh, geez, that's crazy. That car is going really fast. And now I'm like driving. Now I'm just calculating in my head, like, oh, I wonder how fast that car is going. It's going really fast. And then all of a sudden, I just see a bunch of sparks in the carpool lane and just crashes, loud noises. And all of a sudden, this car just veers. Like, so it's just sparking along the barrier. And then this is a Honda. And then just veers its way and crosses all four lanes right in front of me. I had to, like, slam on my brakes as this happens right
Wait,
in front
so
of me.
Wait, so this wasn't the same car? This
no.
This is a different car.
This is a different car, but it got rear-ended by that other
okay,
car.
Okay, so it got rear-ended, and then the Honda goes into the wall and
into
then
the
veers
wall,
to the right.
And then so the car in the back like tries to steer off it, but ends up just like pushing the Honda across all four lanes into like those huge – this is on the 405 freeway.
The big yellow tubs?
No, into a light post. Like that's probably – how tall are those? Like 30 feet?
25,
25, 30 feet. And the light post falls and crashes – and into the freeway and blocks like the three lanes that it covers or the you know 3-4 lanes like it just is now a barrier in the freeway and I'm slamming my brakes like oh my god and Jen wakes up freaking out like ah, what's going on it sounds like we're the ones getting into an accident and I'm just watching this whole thing just happen like oh my god wow. oh my god and so I look and this car is now the Honda is smashed into the side of the road with the pole
and was I not paying attention close enough did the Toyota crash into the Honda?
Yeah.
Is that what started it?
Yeah,
he rear-ended?
So rear-ended the Honda. The Honda just fishtails and then veers across all lanes with the Tercel behind it. So I don't know if the Tercel steered it, somehow steered
so
it.
He
the
like,
way.
Got, like,
so
it stuck together.
Yeah.
So the Honda first went right into the barrier, then went left across the whole freeway and
yeah.
into the... Okay.
Correct. Yeah, went into the freeway. So I pull over to the side of the side of the road because I'm the next car that's there. So I pull over all the way to the right side of the road.
Are you in front of the pole that's down in the middle?
Oh,
of the
yeah.
Or did you oh, yeah.
Yeah, the pole okay. is in front
is
of me.
Is there any
I mean,
lanes
the pole's in front
open
of me.
At this point, or did it...
The left lane is open.
That was the last one.
Okay. So...
This is a 405, so that's what,
yeah.
five lanes?
Yeah, so the pole is on the right side,
okay.
and it fell, and so it blocked a few lanes. So I pull over. This car, the Honda, just smoke coming out of it. It's crushed. It is totaled. And I'm just thinking,
airbags.
Like, oh, my God.
Where's the Tercel at this point?
It's kind of in the middle of the it's in the middle of the road, just like kind of blocked by this pole. And I'm like, oh my God. But the Honda looked really bad and the smoke came out. I'm like, I got to go check that out. So I get out of the car. So it's Jen and we run over there and there's this like old little Asian lady, just like super distraught, like what just happened kind of thing. And Jen, you know, Jen didn't see anything. She's like, oh my God, are you okay? She opens the door and like, we're like, are you okay? She's like, I think so. I need my glasses. And I said, you know, we're looking for a glass in your car. I light my phone. The inside of her car is just all over the place. She's like totally fine though. I mean, not totally fine, but.
She's probably in shock.
In shock. She says she's fine, but you know, that's one of those things like the
physically
next day,
as okay as you could hope for.
Yeah, exactly. And she even says like, I don't know what happened. Like I got rear-ended and now I'm here. And I think, oh my God, all right. Like, you're okay, thank God, because I thought I was going to see, like, a broken bone, maybe a dead person. Like, who knows who was in that car? If there was, like, a kid in the back seat, maybe that, like, you know, who knows what would have happened. And now go turn around to see that Tercel.
Gone.
Takes off. Bails.
Wow.
Hard. I got, only thing I got, Arizona plate. That's all I know. It was too far. It was so dark, too. It was a light. The light got hit off, so there's no light.
So that means he had to have, like, backed up and then gone around the light. To go forward.
Yeah.
And he did that
exactly.
kind of like what in the silence? Like you didn't hear like a.
Yeah, as like I'm checking.
Crunching on the ground as he pulled away and veered off.
It all happened so fast. I'm just checking on this lady who I'm just so worried about. And then I turn around and this car just bails.
Yeah.
Like hard. and another car, like an SUV behind it, just straight up follows it. So I'm hoping that they they're like trying to catch it. But anyway,
I've always heard that like car paint is like a fingerprint, and if somebody nicks your car, they can scrape that paint off and they can ID the car.
Gary's face.
I don't know about
that. True.
I don't think it's like a fingerprint. I believe that the technology works where you can match paint if you then find that guy against the paint that was on that car. I'm sure you could then match them together and go, yeah, these are the same car.
Okay.
I don't think it's like a fingerprint.
This isn't my fucking story. I just feel like I heard that before.
So anyway, this is my first 911 call.
It was on the internet. Come on.
Because
it's real.
There's a big street lamp, like a huge light post in the middle of the freeway blocking all these lanes. There's this lady who's just like – just got hit in there. And then so I pull off the sign. There's another guy behind me who pulled off behind me. And he's on the phone like just talking like, yeah, there's an accident. The pole is blocking all the lanes. And I'm like, oh, thank God. So you're calling 911 right? And he like looks at me like, oh, you should probably do that. Who the hell are you talking to, man? This guy is just hanging out outside. Yeah. Like, who are you talking to? He's like, yeah, you should probably do that. I'm like, oh my God, who the hell is your problem? So I get on my phone. I call 911. They're like, this is 911. What's the emergency? Blah, blah, blah. And this is where I got heated.
Oh.
Because so I call 911 and I tell them, hey, so there's this lady, like, I tell them the whole story, kind of what I'm telling you. And she kind of just cuts me off. Like, oh, where are you right now? Oh, I pulled off to the side of the road to help the lady. Oh, you shouldn't be there. You should leave. But nobody else is here. Like, there's a light post in the middle. Yeah, you should go. Like, you shouldn't even be there. I'll send somebody. But nobody else is here. Like, what? Really? Like, she could be hurt. I don't know, send away a witness
to the incident?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm the only one that saw the whole thing. Yeah, we'll just take your what's your name, Chris? All right, yeah, we got your phone number from calling in, so thanks. You should get out of there.
Wow.
And just leave this lady, like, by herself. Yeah.
So she got in the Prius and did a burnout.
She's being such a wiener. And then like, and then I call and I'm like, oh, and there's also hit and run. Like, wiener. Like there it was this, I don't know. She was just so dumb. And then I was like, oh, and there's also hit and run. Like this car just bailed. Oh, okay. Well, did you get a license plate? Oh, I know it's Arizona plate. All right. That's good enough.
I don't want to go too far off topic here, but if you listen to enough episodes of Sword and Scale, you find out police dispatchers, not great people. They're not so good.
You really need to listen to Sword and Scale to figure that out? I've kind of known that my whole life.
Well, I'm just saying, though. I mean, when people are being fucking murdered and stuff, some of these people are like, calm down, ma'am. Calm down, you know?
I don't understand.
That's really bizarre.
Is it because they're just dead inside? Like, they've heard too many crazy stuff that they're just like, oh.
I'm trying to think of what is the benefit to...
of me leaving.
Yeah, to you leaving. If you are the sole witness to an incident... I understand that they can take your statement later, okay, but telling you to leave the scene of the crime is a little weird to me.
Yeah.
I agree. Maybe because you're on the side of the freeway, there's a risk of you getting hit by another car, so they don't want extra cars parked on the side of the road and things like that, but I think you still did the right thing.
But you just thought
did you leave?
No, I didn't leave.
Right, you did the right thing.
I stayed until there was like some team that came, and then they helped me. They like, there's so much traffic. People were just crashing into this light post. Like, nobody saw it. So, as I'm talking on the phone, like, people are just like, boom, banging into the thing and then reversing, like, going around it. Yeah, that's like, scary. They must have hurt their cars. Like, they're going pretty hard into it. And, like, this thing was so heavy, like, the team was trying to lift it and move it, and they couldn't move it. So they just, like, were directing everybody around it, and they helped me get around it. But I just thought, what is this deal? Now all I want is justice. Like, I'm listening to police scanners all night, like thinking like, oh, they got to catch this person. Like, I got to hear about it. Like, I got to figure this out. Like, is there any way I can figure out if that person got caught for doing that?
I'm not sure. I don't really know. I had the same thought when I did jury duty and I didn't get onto the case. I was like, I'm going to look up what happened. Even I want to know.
It's
harder than you think.
Even the lady, I was asking, like, did you see who did it? Like, did you see who did it? Did you get a plate? Anything? I'm like, I don't know. All I got was it's an Arizona plate. That's it.
It's a small state. They'll find them.
I hope so. But anyway, that was my first call 911. Never again.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, you never have to.
Oh, God. No, it's not.
I didn't think it was.
I don't know.
I don't think you have to. I would hope for your sake you never have to call 911.
Yeah, me too. But it was just really off-putting that like dispatchers talk to the most emotional, stressed out people, and the way they handled it And I thought I had a pretty level head. Like, I didn't get in the accident. I was just reporting what I saw.
Yeah. I would love to hear a tape recording of this phone call.
I would love to, too. Is there any way I could track this down?
Yeah. I just picture you're saying how calm and composed you were, and we hear the call. And you're like, oh, my God! Accident!
I was totally cool.
Yeah.
There's so much blood, maybe!
Yeah.
And the rest of the night, I feel bad for saying this, but it wasn't even, oh, I hope that lady's okay. It was, man, what a wiener that lady was being. Like, I couldn't believe it. But I think she's okay. I actually drove by there the next morning because I just had to drive by there again. And it was all cleaned up.
Nice.
Just a little caution tape around where the body was.
That's not funny. I'm sorry.
No. But anyway, so that was my first 911 call.
Well, like I said, may you never have to call them again.
Yeah, I agree. It sucked. You know who I should call though? ZipRecruiter.
Oh,
that's right. Because and let me tell you guys about ZipRecruiter. If you're in need of great talent for your business, but short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes.
Do they nap?
If you want to find nappers, ZipRecruiter, Kalen could get on there. You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts in smart matching technology to work. If you're napping, and if you want nappers, you can find nappers.
I'm pretty sure you're going to use ZipRecruiter to avoid the nappers. Let's just be clear here.
But if you want them, they're there. Smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. So ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners of The Water Cooler can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/interview. That's ZipRecruiter.com/interview. One more time, try for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/interview. Guys, I'm free. I'm a free bird right now.
How's it feel?
It feels kind of cool, actually. I mean, look, I miss Jen. I always enjoy spending time with her. But, you know, having the place to myself, kind of doing what I want.
Just walking around naked and
Walking around naked. Yeah. Everything is kind of nice. It's funny. I was talking to my friend who's married. He's like, oh, Jen's leaving for 10 days? So like, you get the whole bed to yourself? You can just spread out? I'm like, yeah, I think so. You just kind of just hang out, do whatever you want. You don't have to like call or get checked in on. I'm like, yeah, man, that sounds like you're going to have an amazing time. And then I talked to his wife like 30 seconds later. She's like, oh, yeah, I'd never go on a trip without him. It's not really bad. Like, he just went on like how much he might enjoy it. But whatever. It's all good. Kalen.
Yep.
You got some bean to flick, don't you?
I do, yeah.
I would love to hear you flick that bean. So why don't we get into it?
All right, yeah, let's do it. I watched a movie last night. Newly debuted on Netflix. It's called Gerald's Game. This is a movie that is based off a Stephen King novel.
Oh, I was like, it sounded fun until Stephen King's name got thrown around there.
Well, the movie's based on his books are often very
He's
good.
Fun.
Yeah. Or at least the movies based off of him are fun. I'm not much
fun.
Of a reader, in case you didn't notice. anyway, it is... the book came out in 1992. It stars...
Ooh, 1992.
Yeah. That's when the book came out.
It was two episodes ago, Chris. Let it go.
Wait, isn't this 93?
I thought this was 94.
That's
93. It was 93.
One episode ago.
69 plus Jack Bauer.
Yeah, that's 93.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Wait.
No, that's what I said.
Okay.
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Check the tape list again.
It's 93. For sure.
I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like being on that end of it.
Okay, so the movie stars Carla Gugino.
Love
her. Thank you. Yep. You definitely Entourage. Know her face if you've seen her.
She played Amanda on Entourage, the hot agent that takes over Ferrari,
who is just like, oh, let's just have sex now and get it over with.
Ooh, like the older dark haired lady.
Yep.
Ooh. I like Carla. I'm a fan.
Yeah, she's also in Spy Kids, all three of them, Sin City, Night at the Museum, American Gangster, Watchmen, Californication, San Andreas. You definitely know who she is.
If you want to see...
Spy Kids is her first
To be fair, she's a big part of those movies.
I know she is.
And they are great movies. Let's not
are they?
I love the first one.
By the way, if you want to see Carlos Gugino's, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure do.
Check out Sin City. It's all over that one. All
right, thank you, Mr. Skin.
I know, it sounded like a Mr. Skin thing, so I hear...
The star of the movie is Bruce Greenwood, who you've seen in the recent Star Trek movies. He was in Super 8, Flight, Mad Men, iRobot, the new Kingsman, Golden Circle.
Who's he playing something? Kingsman or Star Trek?
I don't know.
Okay.
Those are his credits.
Look, he just looks this shit up on IMDb, okay?
I haven't seen the new Kingsman.
Gail is not ready for follow-up questions.
You would recognize him.
You're missing out on the new Kingsman, by the way.
I'll wait for the...
I haven't seen the first one.
To the Netflix release.
Oh, don't see the second one unless you like the first one, but... Oh.
Everyone likes the
sequel,
the first one.
The sequel is A-plus work.
Yeah, it was written and directed by Mike Flanagan, who did Oculus, Hush, which I hear is pretty good.
That movie's awesome.
Ouija, Origin of Evil.
There's a Ouija movie?
Two. There's three!
Are there three now?
I think so. Well, maybe there's only two.
Yep, the movie has a total running time of 103 minutes, and the basic premise, which I don't think I'm giving too much away here... is that a couple goes up to a romantic retreat up in the wilderness, a cabin miles from anybody else, and they start to get a little frisky.
Ah.
The husband breaks out the old handcuffs to the bed.
Oh!
And then...
That's frisky.
He has a heart attack and dies. And she is there, stuck to the bed, cuffed.
Gerald died?
Yes.
That's Gerald, I assume?
Yeah.
This is his game?
It was.
I want to play a game.
Yeah. That is only about the first 10, 12 minutes. So you got a lot more movie ahead of you there. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It is a lot. They do it in a way to where they really fill that extra time when there's only one person in the room.
So it's like Survivor? Like you spend a large majority of the movie with just one character?
Essentially, yeah.
She's going crazy, though, so she's, like, hallucinating. There's other things happening.
There's a bunch of things that happen, and you don't know if they are real or not. It's very interesting. It's very entertaining for just being in pretty much one room the entire movie.
So there I don't know if this would it spoil if I ask if there's, like, supernatural things happening?
It's a Stephen King story.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
I can leave it at that.
But, definitely check it out. It's definitely a good watch. I think
don't watch it with your parents or with small children.
Oh,
it's
really?
Incredibly.
Graphic.
It's graphic.
Yeah.
I need to know this.
It could be more graphic.
Yeah,
but there are some scenes in it that I would not suggest watching with maybe a parent or a child.
Yeah,
of yours.
I would not.
I smell rape.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's just say our friend Randy loved this movie.
Great. Then I would advise not watching it with a girlfriend either.
He watched it with his girlfriend's sister, and his girlfriend's mom. I told him that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard. He's very aware of what happens in the story, too.
Randy, part of Randy's pleasure in that, though, is he will enjoy watching them watch the movie more than just watching the movie.
Sorry, Kaelin.
No, that's all right. I was just about to. The movie is flickable at 7.5.
Oh! Ooh,
Dawson underselling you over there.
Yeah. Yeah, Dawson predicted that it would be 6.
That, in?
That whole conversation? All right. I'll put it at the top of the show. I'll just put it there and then we'll start the show. How's that?
Whatever.
Yeah, we like that. All right. So, yeah, that thing you heard Dawson say earlier. that was his prediction. All right, man. I will not watch this movie. I don't know. I think that's
going to be a pass for me, too.
If you got extra time and you want to watch it.
It's not that I don't think it's quality or I don't think it's a good story. I just don't have that kind of stomach. I'll wiki it.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, what's up?
You're the biggest movie buff in the room. Kaelin, I'll ask you, too. You're a close second. Have either of you heard of this fucking Tomahawk movie that Adam started talking about?
I've heard
about
of
on the
one
show?
Scene from it in particular. I had never heard
of that film.
I've never heard of it either.
Neither have I.
The only reason I heard of it is because of one scene that's in the movie that made me sick almost, just watching it through like a bootleg version.
Is that another Randy type of movie?
Maybe. Yeah. I have also heard that it's not that great.
Yeah. Hmm? All right.
Yeah.
Well, good job, Cam.
Nice there, bro. I thought it was a pretty good movie, too, as well.
So all right. It's on Netflix, so check that out if you can. It's flickable. Now, remember Gary said that I went, my friend and Mike and I went out and had one on the other night. That did happen. And I came across my very first pool sharks. Mike and I were playing pool.
Did you get sharked?
You tell me. Mike and I were playing pool. And then these two guys come up and they just, the move is you put the quarter down on the table if you got next. And so, and there were other tables open, but they put down on our table. They wanted next on this table. I'm thinking, oh, if they really want to play, they should go to another table. But no, they wanted ours. As soon as Mike and I finished, they go, all right, we're next. And, you know, if you guys want to play doubles, we can do that. And it's like, sure. We're racking them up. And he goes, you guys want to make this interesting?
And like, mistake number one, red flag Mike number
and I,
one.
And like, these guys are, I should say they're kind of hard to see because they had really thick Mexican, you know, accents. They just got off their shift. They were like chefs at the restaurant next door. And
red flag number two. They work next door. Come on.
Yeah, they work next door. And but my, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I like to say I'm decent at pool. I can hang. And Mike's really good. So we thought, we don't really, you know, want to bet money or things. Like, how about just a beer? Let's just bet a pitcher. It's one pitcher of beer. I'm like, oh, that's fair enough. You know, we introduce ourselves and we end up just talking for a little bit as we're playing. And Mike and I almost win. We went down all the way to the eight ball, and they ended up beating us. And I thought we played a pretty good game.
How quickly did they beat you once they got down to the eight ball? Like, was it back and forth for a little while, or was it like their turn, eight ball alone?
It was pretty evenly matched the whole way.
Okay.
So then they go, let's go again. Rack them up. And you guys want to go double or nothing, two pitchers? And now this is where I think I'm getting, oh my God, I'm getting sharked. They barely lost to us on purpose just because they want the double or nothing. And they're already thrown back. They've already thrown back like two pitchers when they got there. These guys are just drinking. Like,
they were ready to go.
Yeah, like they don't plan on paying for another beer for the rest of the night. So we say yes. Because, I mean, it was down to the eight ball.
Sure.
And they beat us again. And
how handily this time?
They're good.
They're good. Did you clear more than three?
You can just tell by like their touch and their forearm and like their stance, like their foot placement was like unlike anything I've ever seen. And yeah, they destroyed me. They destroyed us this time. And I thought, okay, well, I got sharked. And anyway, they say,
that's
hey,
when you
did
go,
you say anything?
Triple or nothing. Yeah. You guys are on.
Well, now we all have a few on us, and they're just like, hey, come split these pitchers with us. And we
end up, yeah, good sports.
And so we sit down there, and they're like, yeah, we're sharks. And
they basically told us, awesome.
They're like, yeah, pitchers of beer, like that's basically a free game for us. We, like, usually when they come there, and like they told us all the other spots to go, they play like for, they say the first four games, $100 each. In the last game, they'll do a $1,000 game.
Wow.
And like what they do is they pay the bar. Like the bar handles it. And like everyone just puts their money at the bar.
Inside job.
Yeah, all inside job.
That's crazy.
Did you ask them if they let it go down to the wire on the first game?
I didn't need to, Kalen. These guys play $1,000 games.
Maybe they were off again.
When you're dropping off the cash for that second pitcher, Kalen, you don't need to ask questions.
Yeah, they were just like, oh yeah, like that's their night. Like they just go to bar, like different certain bars, and they just they play. Like, oh, but there weren't any opponents or people to play them, so they just played us for beers and just wanted to hang out. And like, yeah, he had like a whole wad of hundos in his pocket. He's like, yeah, see, I was ready to play tonight.
That's awesome.
It's like, oh my God.
I like that they were good sports about it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we just ended up splitting some beers. And then
older than you guys or about the same age?
Oh, way older.
Way older?
Way older. Old timers.
Late 40s.
No, they were older, though.
Adults.
Yeah, they were adults. Anyway, so yeah, so my first confrontation with pool sharks. I made it out alive. Good thing I didn't make any money on it. But yeah, who knows? Who knows?
God, can you imagine being thrown down $100 for four games and then the last one, they're like $1,000. Just fucking take it all.
That's how it is. It's like a gambling ring. I mean, I'm sure if I mention the bar, they'll get in trouble. Like, I don't want it. But it was fun. Like, they're not like official pool tables. Like, these are just like those like janky bar tables with like the crooked cues and stuff. But
yeah, but if you play there night after night, that's an advantage.
Oh, you're right, huh? Yeah,
absolutely.
Home field, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, that I thought that was fascinating to come across. Like, there's a whole world that I didn't even really know about, but now I do. I know everything about it, and I want to be a part of it. Like, I just got to get good at pool.
You bought
first.
Two pitchers of beer. I don't think you know everything about it.
What else is there to know? I kind of get it. Now, something I've been meaning to do these last few shows. VH1, I love the 90s. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is episode 93, and I want to talk about the year of 93, because it's a very formative year.
How old are you?
85. I was born in 85, end of 85. So what is that? Like eight?
Yes.
All right, there you go.
Yep, like seven, 8 years old. Sounds about right.
Very formative years. In 93, one of the greatest movies of all time, in my top three, came out.
Heavyweights.
Groundhog Day.
Oh.
Is that not just the perfect movie, Matt?
I do love Groundhog Day. They've turned it into a musical. It's on Broadway right now.
Oh.
That's kind of weird, though, right?
That is weird.
Yeah.
I don't...
There's also...
if there was one thing that movie was missing, it was show tunes.
It was definitely show tunes. No, it is a really great movie.
The Blues Piano.
I mean, besides just Bill Murray, like in one of his... Like next to Ghostbusters, I would say that's probably the most Bill Murray role that there is.
I like it better than Ghostbusters. No?
I mean, I like that. I have a special place in my heart for that one. Yeah. Multiple t-shirts to that point. It is a great movie. I think what makes it a timeless movie is... the message in the movie, which, you know, it kind of makes it more of a classic movie. It's not just a comedy. It's got a lot of heart. It's well-paced. I do think it's a great movie.
I love it. And yeah, the message is fantastic. The thing that sucks is if you like look into the movie, it's really what tore Bill Murray and Harold Ramis apart was that film.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But they reconciled before Ramis died.
On his deathbed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Bill Murray, it's sad. It's sad.
I don't understand. I've never heard this story.
Oh, what? So Bill Murray and Harold Ramis just had creative differences, and they just like refused to, after this movie they were finished working this movie, they refused to work with each other.
They stopped speaking halfway through making this movie.
Wow. Yeah. They didn't, they just were fed up with each other. And for the rest of their careers, or Harold's career, like, just
Harold's life.
Yeah, Harold's life. Yeah, they just stopped talking. And it just bummed me out hearing about this because of how heartwarming this movie is and what it created between like two comedic geniuses, you know? And in fact, what's his name? Like the Groundhog Day, the announcer guy, the old guy who announces at the assembly for every Groundhog Day, that guy's Bill Murray's brother. It's his like older brother.
Okay.
And so on Harold Ramis's deathbed,
Brian Doyle Murray?
Yeah. Yep,
that's the guy.
He called up Bill and just like, hey, Harold's dying. You should go and make your peace with him.
That's crazy.
And Bill did it. And then Harold dies. And then I think like at the next Academy Awards, Bill announces like best directors. And he's like, and one that's not on the list but should be included is Harold Ramis for being one of the best directors in the world. And like kind of just like did a little tribute to him off script.
There's a really interesting article that I read a while ago. I don't remember all the specifics, but it was about how many times did Bill Murray repeat the day. There's all sorts of fan theories about how long he had to repeat that day. And the one that I'm thinking of was like, it was like 10,000 days or something just completely outrageous.
Yeah.
But when you read the kind of explanation behind it, you're like, oh my God, that's probably right. Oh,
I love all those fan theories too. Yeah. And
10,000 days.
It's something crazy.
No, more than that.
That's like decades.
That's the idea. It's like maybe even more than that.
Yeah. I mean, the guy memorized everybody's story. He learned how to play piano like insanely well.
I feel like I could do that in like a couple years.
I'll find the article for you.
Every movement of what everybody's doing, like,
I'm sure all this talk is to remind people that this Friday there's a new movie coming out called Happy Death Day.
Which is
Groundhog Day, except she gets murdered at the end of every day has to find her killer in order to survive.
The guy that produced that actually has made some not so half bad movies. I think he was the guy behind The Purge.
Some not so half bad movies.
When it comes to horror slasher movies, you kind of are another level.
There's another
you
movie.
You guys can use that blurb.
Yeah.
There's another one it's like a sci-fi take on it with Jake Gyllenhaal. I want to say it's called Time Code or something like that.
Now,
that's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, but there's
the best sci-fi take on it is Day After. Wait, what's it called? Tomorrow.
The Day After Tomorrow?
No, not Day After Tomorrow. Tom Cruise.
Oh, Live.
It's called Live, Die, Repeat is the name that they
gave
it.
That's like the Asian title.
It's called Edge of Tomorrow.
That movie rules.
There's a sequel
coming.
That
movie was totally awesome.
There is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think they're filming it now.
That movie also a lot of heart. And repeating day. So anyway,
it's a good movie. That movie's a little ridiculous.
The one that I'm thinking of with Jake Gyllenhaal is actually also
Is that the one with Justin Timberlake where they're like, where time is a commodity and you like use time
to pay for
stuff?
This is one where it's like there's a bomb that's going to go off on a train and Jake Gyllenhaal's like in, it's almost like a VR simulator and he has to keep returning to the train to try to figure out who's going to blow it up.
I remember
And
that
it's one of those, much like Edge of Tomorrow and I guess Groundhog Day as well, where it's like if you, when you hear the concept, you think it's probably going to be boring because it's just going to be the same thing over and over and over again. But all three of these movies find a way to kind of break that. And while you are still seeing similar things, the story manages to still progress.
That's the magic of it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Source code.
There you go. I wasn't too far with time code. That one's actually pretty good, too. It's directed by David Bowie's kid.
Oh, I'll check that out. I love those kind of movies. I love all time travel, and I like, I guess, repeating days as well. And lastly, another movie. Matt, I don't know if you wore that shirt on purpose.
No.
Matt is wearing his Jurassic Park shirt.
You missed it on Friday. I wore the Drakkar shirt that you guys got.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, I'm sure I'll see all three shirts.
You'll see all three in the same week.
By the way,
tweet us if you find other Jurassic Park themed T-shirts. I really want to fill out the week. I need two more.
It's kind of specific though. It's not just any Jurassic Park.
It's like a gray.
It's the
logo.
The Jurassic Park logo with. Some other...
Yes.
I think we've aptly described it on the show.
Yeah.
It's a Jurassic Park t-shirt.
But anyway...
I have more faith in our fans than you do, Kalen.
Jurassic Park, also one of the greatest movies. This is just a great year.
Did that come out in 93?
Great year of cinema, yeah.
Yeah,
93.
It did.
Mrs. Doubtfire as well. Cliffhanger.
It was a run by fruiting.
Cliff.
Oddly enough, this is like the third reference to Mrs. Doubtfire that I've heard today. This is so weird. I don't even know how that happens.
It's my favorite line from that whole movie. She throws a fucking lime at Pierce Brosnan. And goes, it was a run by fruiting.
That's the line you got out of it. I love it.
I don't know. That's always been my favorite line in that movie for some reason.
And Cliffhanger, my first rated R movie that I ever saw all the way through.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's just that's the year I went from being a boy.
Walk out of the theater or what?
Left a man. But speaking of Jurassic Park, a listener comes in. He's writing anonymously, but he just wanted our take on something.
He or she. Oh, it's anonymous. Respect all women.
Oh. Yeah, it could be he or she.
I don't think it's anonymous to Chris. I think it said, please keep me anonymous. His name was probably in the email address.
We'll see. Woof woof. Wanting the Bobo Boy's opinion, I think my wife, or husband, might think I'm less of a man or woman now. I think my wife might think I'm less of a man now. My wife, two daughters, age 4 and 2.
Ouch.
A lot of estrogen.
And I were sitting in the family room, my wife flipping channels as I was looking watching something on my iPad. I look up and she had turned on Jurassic Park. I say, are you kidding me? Change that. She responds to me like she's really confused as to why I would even say that. I said that it's way too scary for our daughters to watch. She said it's not scary at all. I, flabbergasted, said it's one of the scariest movies ever. She did change the channel, but I felt a lot less manly.
Did he say how old his children are?
4 and 2.
2 and 4.
Daughters. Is my wife even more badass than I thought, or does she have no regards for our daughters' nightmares for the rest of their lives? Thanks, a resume and resume sideshow. Water cooler listener. Woof woof.
I almost feel like...
First of all, I don't appreciate this gentleman is buying into your bullshit. With this sideshow nonsense.
Bullshit.
Here's what I will say. I think you are right that your 2 and 4-year-old, especially the 4-year-old, I don't know. At 2, do they...
That movie gave me nightmares.
Really?
Yeah, it did. I probably saw it when I was maybe like 5 or 6.
I saw that movie.
Now look, he's watching Gerald's Game.
I saw that movie at like 9 or 10, and I believe it was behind my mother's back.
Yeah.
Because she just said Steven Spielberg's too good of a director. I know he'll make that look really real and it'll freak you out. I think for the 4-year-old, you're right to have it changed.
The 2-year-old's not going to know.
Probably won't even know.
Probably
I don't
not.
Know. Dexter didn't know that his
the
mom
got...
The
fact that your wife is confused doesn't make me think that you're less badass. It just makes me wonder that she has if she has any appreciation for... Like, really? A 4-year-old and you're confused as to why you might want to change that channel? I don't know. It depends on what scene. If you open it, if you turned on the movie and they were in the scene where everything's still chill and they're touring the fucking visitor center, then maybe I could see why she's confused.
But I told you we should have put locking mechanisms on the cars. You realize they had to buy special Jeeps and remove the locks. They had to go out of their way to make sure there were no locks on the fucking cars.
Yeah.
When I was 10, 11 years old, that's probably the first time I saw it. It was just on VHS or something. My parents rented it. It absolutely terrified me, but then I did still love it. But my little sister is permanently traumatized by the movie because when she was probably 4 or 5 years old, we owned the VHS and I told her we were going to watch it and my buddy was watching with us. And at a certain point, we were such little shithead kids, he said he was going to get up and go in the other room. But what my sister didn't know is that he, in fact, was crawling in behind her chair. Moment when, like, a velociraptor attacked or something, he jumped and grabbed my sister. She screamed so loud. To this day, my sister reminds me that all of her fears are from that moment.
So you bought a bunch of t-shirts to remind her of her trauma?
Just a reminder. She's actually the one who got me the Ghostbusters Jurassic Park shirt, so maybe she's grown a little bit.
I hate to put you guys on the spot here, but are there any – is there a certain moment in cinema that just like you remember just freaking you out in like to a point where you'll never forget? I could think of one.
I absolutely
or like a, this is more of a jump scare.
I walked into a neighbor's house when I was under 10 and like an older brother or like uncle or somebody was watching like the most fucked up. I don't know what the number was, but one of the Texas Chainsaw Massacres, and it was like a real bad scene, and I just like turned the corner and saw that. And that stuck with me for a little bit.
Mine is – there's actually two movies that both had this exact same moment in them, and they scared me equally. One was in Poltergeist, where the little kid's got the little clown doll at the foot of his bed, and he's really scared of the clown doll, and some scary stuff's been happening, but nothing too terrible yet. And he takes a blanket and like throws it over the clown, and you kind of see the clown's hand drop. And then next thing you know, that clown is fucking under the bed and jumping and strangling the little kid. Terrifying. Same scene. Ernest Scared Stupid. There's a scene where some little kid turns around and there's a fucking like troll thing in his bed. Those two scenes combined. I'm not even kidding when I tell you that I had to
under the bed.
I wouldn't look under the bed
after watching that.
There's also an episode of like The Outer Limits, which was like kind of like the Twilight Zone. Same idea where it's like the bear under the bed and then it comes and grabs you. I literally for years had to sleep facing the main part of the room because I had a fear that if I slept facing the wall that some arm was going to come out from under the bed and pull me under.
But if you were looking out towards the room,
somehow that made it better.
This is the safe zone.
That's right.
All right.
Instance of a movie that got me pretty good. And keep in mind, I was a little younger than you guys when it came out, but it's probably still not young enough to justify this, but it was the scene in The Lord of the Rings, Return of the Ring.
So you were in high school.
when Bobo Baggins.
Bilbo?
Bilbo Baggins.
Now that's got to be a fucking meme. Let's get that going, people.
Yeah, when Bilbo Baggins sees the ring and then like goes crazy.
His face turns all crazy and shit. That's
right.
Scared
me at night, but it got me in the theater real good.
That part's pretty scary.
All right. Well, we got to get out of here because we got a conference call. Mine is just Independence Day when there's kind of the alien open and that thing just freaking splits open all fast. I jumped out of my seat in the theater.
That part's really scary.
I thought I was
going to
die there. I was like, this is how I go.
I'm sorry, but still the most unbelievable part of that movie, and I know this is a statement, but the most unbelievable part of that movie is that Will Smith knocked out that alien with one punch.
Welcome to Earth, baby! That's one of the greatest moments ever.
Fucking bare-fisted one punch, and he just takes this fucking... out for fucking hours.
And drags it.
In a parachute. Man.
All right. You're right, though. We should write a letter and say, hey, one part's movie didn't really fly.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Big spaceships and aliens, cool.
Yeah.
Knocked out with one punch? I don't know.
All right, Caleb, where could it go for you?
You don't need to worry about me this week.
All right, yeah, you didn't get your Szechuan sauce, so I'm pretty bummed.
Yeah, I've done just about all I can. I can't really do any more.
Snap, and you can dream about us watching it. Gary, where could it go for you?
I'm gonna check that footer, baby.
The what?
Go to travelbyparker.com and check the footer.
Okay, check the footer. And Matt?
Follow me on Twitter at Matt Fondelier. If you're looking for scary podcasts to listen to during October, please check out Sword and Scale and Sword and Scale Rewind. And also the Dana Gould Hour. Every Halloween, he does a Halloween episode. They're not scary, but if you like Halloween stuff, it's always a treat.
That is one of my favorite podcasts. I don't miss it.
It's a treat. Yeah, so that is all that I have to say.
All right. And for me, just check out Kevin's Cryptids. Story podcast. We're going to be releasing some Halloween stuff and some special episodes pretty soon. And Carcast, Joe Coy, all the Coral Digital podcasts. We're having fun doing them. So thank you so much for listening. Oh, and big ups to Casey at Pizza Port for providing the beer of the week. It is Nerf Herder, an English mild brown ale from Pizza Port.
So, it is fucking delicious.
Yeah, Matt and I have been sipping on it all the entire show, so that's why we weren't talking as much, because it was just too good. All right, just kidding. We were talking enough. We love you, and we'll see you for episode 94. Woo! Power Rangers. Pablo Escobar got shot. Brandon Lee got shot. Got Milk started. Saved by the Bell ended. Sleepless in Seattle. Rom-coms.
Chris, you were bringing so much fire. Why didn't this come up on
Lorena air? Bobbitt.
Oh, Dick
Snow. Ew.
I was like in the middle of an email.
What do you think she's famous for?
I know, but don't call it that. It's so weird.
Say, man, that doesn't happen.